Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Holson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us. Ava, good to see you.
I'm here.
We have a surprise guest in our audience today, our studio today. Who is this guy?
You know what? It's been a long time since he beat me here.
Don Cleaver's in the house.
You know what? We were all running a little crazy today. Yeah. That's all right.
Well, it's all good. Well, good to have you guys in the house, and good to have all of you out there listening. Got some good stuff coming up. We're going to talk a little bit, you guys in the outdoors, just to give you a handle on the tariff scenario from a firsthand perspective, what's going on and the reasons for it. I think you may want to hear this. We're also going to talk about the what's going on with the boating accidents that occurred this last week. And some details on that, and we'll discuss the ins, the outs, the ups and downs. So that and more when we return. Hang in there. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world.
Whoa. Good to see you, Donald.
Yeah, it sounds good to be seen.
Did you survive your travels?
Well, yeah, it was several weeks ago.
Yeah, well,
obviously I survived them.
I know. I keep bringing it up. I forget.
Yeah, he's been back for a while.
I know.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting.
Still it's new
like
to
weird
you.
To have him back in the...
He just hasn't come to terms with the fact that you've returned.
I haven't.
His heart missed you.
I haven't. I'm so used to flying through shows, you and I just going boom, 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 and done. And then Don throws a wrench in, you know, the whole thing.
That's what I'm here for.
Keep us
a
on
wrench
our toes.
Thrower.
Yeah.
Got to keep you honest, you know.
Oh, boy. So, jump into, I'm a solid in a segue today, really solid. At the introduction, we talked a little bit about what's going on in the world as far as tariffs, and most people are like, whatever, you know, tariffs are going to be this, they're going to be that, you know, obviously things will get straightened out in a near term, you know, with some of the latest news, it looks like it's going to be a relatively short term for some things. And I just wanted to bring this up from a firsthand experience from a number of years ago, and being involved in the tackle industry for many, many years, having worked at retailers, and I'm not going to say which retailer, but some of the larger retailers, I would come in and do seminars throughout the years and help out and sell rods and reels, et cetera. And one of the top brands that I had as a sponsor, I was there in the store helping sell that product, as they usually have open houses kind of things, you know, big days, you know, sure, whatever, pro days, whatever. And we would, year after year after year, look and we'd find these top selling reels. We just have a good number of them, and we'd spend time talking to people about them. It was just a price point that was good. And the reel, it wasn't too high a level, but it was really a good quality in that $79 to $89 range, maybe $99, depending on how you wanted it. But one of the things that was key to this, Don, was you have usually four ball bearings, maybe five. You get to five, you're starting to go over that $100 mark.
So what type of a reel are you referring to? A spinning reel?
A spinning reel. We'll just stick with the spinning reel.
Okay,
it could be others, but we'll say spinning reel. In this particular case, you're looking at a good spinning reel. It's not a anything that's going to be the low-end reel, but it's going to be a good reel. Well, they find out one of the top-selling of this company, somebody, I'm guessing this particular retail, sent that to China. And what they did was they copied the basics of it, and then they said, well, we're going to put 10 ball bearings in it. Oh, perfect. And what do? They charge $20 below or whatever, or 15 or 20, and have 10 ball bearings.
So your perception is better reel for less money.
Oh, better reel, more ball bearings, right?
Right.
What they would do is you'd feel that the reel was very stiff. They put a heavy, heavy grease in it. The heavy, heavy grease prevented you when you buy the reel from feeling just how bad it was. It was horrendous. I got one and tried it and ran it. I fished it 3 days. On the third day, it's like I was retrieving gravel, retrieving the reel with gravel in it. It was that bad, Don.
Like I said before, the ball bearings weren't quite so round.
No, I felt like they were square.
Yeah.
So this is exactly what happens. And if you've heard anything, a guy called Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, he brought it out recently, and this is the reason I'm saying this. What China does is they will take any item that's a top seller at a certain breakpoint. If they're manufacturing something like it, they'll take their downtime, modify it a little bit, and then turn around and sell it at pennies on the dollar. They put the whatever small company, whatever, they'll put that company out of business because that company can't afford to sell it for what they're actually, or you know, market it for what they're selling it for.
One of the things that's I mean, I actually happened to me was online. They will make a product that looks exactly like the American-made product, and they'll put the name and change one letter in it.
Yep.
Now, when you change a M to an N in the name, you glance at it and you think that's the company. You think it's the same company. So I don't know how they can sell these things for $49 or $59, but I'm going to buy one. Well, it was a situation where I waited and I waited and I'm going, I wonder if I actually ordered one. Well, I looked, my money disappeared. And I think it was 6 weeks later, package showed up and there it was.
Yep.
And I didn't realize I wasn't receiving the actual product, but a knockoff of it.
And it fell apart. The hinges don't work. Everything falls apart. And that's the issue that I have with this whole thing. As far as I'm in support of this whole deal, we need better trade. You can't go to litigate anything in China because it's a trade violation. It's a trademark violation, but they don't care. Right. Nobody cares. So, you know, I think people need to realize that this is a good thing for us as far as in the industry. This needs to be cleared up. Make sure we get the real product, the good product, and the best product we can get at a good price. So there you go. That's my 2 cents. Hang tight, guys. We're going to be right back with more Valley Outdoors. We're going to talk a little bit about the recent news in the MLF and the accident within the attorneys. See you, bye. Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us. And we want to have you guys check us out on a couple places. Number one is Facebook. Like us, please. And Don, where else?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Not org. .com.
I totally stumped you on that one, didn't I?
No, I was
I
was giving you the permanent pause.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good.
The permanent pause.
Glad to have that, and the website's super awesome, so that's awesome. Really cool. Sad news this last week in a couple situations. The investigations are still going on. One accident on Lake Norman in North Carolina, an angler has been charged And the story goes as such. High-speed boat crash on Lake Norman this last Wednesday resulted in one hospitalization and one man facing charges, according to officials of the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission. The collision happened about 7:15 in the morning on Wednesday near Lake Norman State Park boat ramp as traffic on the water increases for the ongoing, this is called the NPFL, or the National Professional Fishing League, tournament that's being held this last week. North Carolina Wildlife confirmed with the news that a bass boat operated by this gentleman was part of a fishing tournament. They were traveling at speeds between 50 and 60 miles an hour when they struck the right side of another boat that was idling nearby. The second boat was operated by a local resident who frequently fishes in the early mornings. Well, 7:15, it's daylight, right?
I mean, did they refer to it as the right side or the port side or starboard?
Just the right side.
It was actually coming at it or going.
It was
away.
The starboard side. Okay. I saw the boat.
Okay.
So the impact threw both operators into the water. Fortunately, other nearby boaters acted quickly to help, pulling both men from the lake, officials said. Emergency medical services, along with the sheriff's deputies and local fire crews, responded. Both of them were taken to a nearby hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Following the investigation, wildlife officials determined the cause of the crash was operator inattention. The operator of the bass boat has since been charged with careless and reckless operation of a motorboat. We're extremely grateful this accident and incident has not resulted in any severe injuries, said the NPFL president. Our primary concern is always with the health and safety of the anglers and anyone using the water. We take boating safety extremely seriously. While tournament activity was ongoing, officials confirmed only one of the boats involved was associated with the event. And, you know, I will say this. This is an important piece of this. The ruling in any tournament, you have to have your safety lanyard attached to your jacket and you're wearing a flotation device at all times.
Right.
I think this is one of these wake-up calls. No matter what you're doing in the water, have one of those on when you're running. Have your safety lanyard attached. You never know what's going to happen. You just don't. You could lose a steering system. I've seen the video. You've probably seen a video of that. Guy driving down the lake, and all of a sudden, the steering let loose, and the boat just went hard exit stage right,
yeah,
and you're thrown from the boat. So those situations come up, as well as the fact that if you get you hit your head on the way out, you're unconscious and you're in the water.
Right.
So,
you know, the one thing that, I mean, they've designed these new horse collar type life preservers.
Suspenders, yep.
That you can wear. And you're best to leave them on all day long because.
You can.
They're comfortable. Mm-hmm. After a while, you don't even know you have them on.
Yep.
And just in case, you know, because you might not be the one hitting somebody, you could get hit.
Very true.
Or get hit with a big wave or something that lose your balance and go over the side. I actually had a friend that lost control of his tiller and it snapped and threw him out the other side, you know, straight out over the.
I've had it happen.
Yeah.
We're filming video.
And what's that?
We're filming video and I was making a hard corner and the boat hooked.
Yep.
And I went backwards.
Yeah.
Tore the battery out of the boat. I had the kill switch on. So yep. It shut down.
And this individual did too. Plus, he had a horse collar.
That's right. Safety lanyard.
Yes. So I usually, you know, I kill my engine more often by standing up because I run a tiller.
Yeah.
I stand up, forget I got, I'm hooked up to it, and I kill the engine.
Exactly.
So I go, yeah, well, I got to take it off of me and hook it back up to the engine.
I've had that happen in a tournament. When you get excited and you're all tied up, and then you step away from it, and you sit down, you're like, oh, no.
We're not
it
running.
It doesn't start. And then you're about ready to start to kick her up and head back, and you look down, and you're like, no worries, we got this.
Too many things to think of.
A very unfortunate, another accident the same day this week, this Wednesday. Three are dead and others injured in Major League Fishing tournament. Major League Fishing had Flint Davis from Leesburg, Georgia, involved in the accident. occurred on the event in Alabama, Smith Lake. Actually, it's called Lewis Smith Lake. It was day two of the Tackle Warehouse Invitational. They reported that three have been confirmed dead. Another three are injured after the multi-boat accident. Alabama Law Enforcement Agency identified these as a gentleman, a 58-year-old gentleman. I'm not going to list his name. That's not important at the time. But MLF said that the incident also involved one of the anglers from that event. He's from Leesburg, Georgia. Out of respect for all involved, ensure the accuracy of all of information, no further details will be released. Thoughts and prayers go to the deep and deepest concerns are with everyone affected by the tragedy.
It'll be interesting to see the details come out from that particular situation.
And they canceled the event as well. So,
well, they canceled the whole event. Well,
yeah, once that happened,
three
they canceled
people get
the event.
Killed. Yes.
Yeah, and
such a bad deal.
At that point, as we are understanding, it was his boat somehow that had run into a guide boat that had a number of people on it. And the question begs, when I saw the boat, his boat, the person that hit, the engine was torn off completely. So that was gone.
Wow. I mean, they hit a center console boat. I don't know what size it was, but they're usually a longer boat, and they have a much higher profile out of the water than a typical professional bass boat.
Very unfortunate scenario. The question, so this is the question that comes up, Don. You know, I've looked at a lot of the posts that people have put on there. You don't need a boat that goes that fast. That's reckless. And
who's ever said that?
On these posts.
Oh.
Yeah. These, I mean,
the internet, Don. The internet says.
Oh. Yes, the keyboard warriors.
I think I've mentioned
the
it.
Trolls.
And, you know, the part that, why do you have 300 horsepowers on these boats? And this happens to be not a matter of the boat itself.
No.
It's not. The boat, I've driven these boats that go 70 miles an hour, and you do in the right conditions. I've been in fog. Without question, I have driven in extensive fog, but you drive at 10 miles an hour.
Right.
In this particular case, the question is, was there fog, intermittent fog, involved where he was driving along, came around a corner? It could be that there was a river that came in and it came foggy. Nonetheless, you can see fog. You slow down, you don't drive through it.
Right.
And been involved with it, was on Lake Michigan up by the UP, and I was on an area called 11 Mile Shoal. A buddy of mine and I were trolling, pre-fishing for a tournament, and we're right along the edge of this break, and we thought, and it was heavy fog, and we thought, that's a weird sound. We couldn't figure out what the sound was. And we're, you know, we have the trolling motor going up front, we're pulling planer boards, we're trolling crawler harnesses, so we're about 1.2 miles an hour, 1.1.
Right.
And we hear this shh, and we're like, what is that? And looming out of the fog is a 390-foot oar boat.
That gets your attention.
It was 100 yards away, but 100 yards away
that's
in that fog, you're looking up at this thing. And, it puts your heart in your throat.
Yeah.
Not 10 minutes later, we're still trolling. All of a sudden, we hear this boat coming. And the guy literally was no more than 5 feet from our planer boards when he finally saw us.
Ugh.
Not a good thing.
No.
So a lot of conditions could have contributed to it. The problem you have is this is a boater thing. This is a
operation.
The operator is creating the direct impact on what occurs. Now, was there a mechanical failure? Was there a steering scenario? Was there something else that got or created scenario?
That's why I say we got to really wait to hear the details.
Exactly.
On it, we don't know really what caused this type of thing. I've mentioned it before. I've had a similar situation. I was out on Mille Lacs at night, And in the dark, there wasn't a fog, so to speak, but we were fishing at night, and we could hear a young person in a maybe 14-foot aluminum boat with a small motor heading straight across the lake. And it's, you just, you know, right? All of a sudden, it kills. And it wasn't but a few minutes, we could hear help, you know, off into the distance. We're talking a mile away. Help!
Cause they ran into a reef, I suspect.
And then we hear a bass boat coming across the lake. And I'm going, oh my, you know, and this kid that had the boat had no lights on his boat.
Great.
So, I mean, it would be a stroke of really bad luck that they would find each other out there. But, and you don't, how do you go look for them? They got no lights on their boat.
Spotlights, the only way.
Yeah. So, I mean, those kind of things can happen.
Were they okay?
I have no idea. We don't know what happened. I mean, we never heard a collision. So,
okay.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
But yeah, that's happened. It happened in the St. Croix River. I was, on the weekend one time in St. Croix, somebody takes off from the town of Stillwater, and they take off, and somebody didn't have their lights on, ran right over the top of the boat.
Oh, really?
Two people killed, directly responsible. Who is it? It's the boater is responsible for those scenarios.
Yeah.
I will say, and this is the reason I'm leaving this open, that if there was a mechanical issue, there was something else that happened with the steering system, then that's a different deal. Because it has happened. I have personally seen it. I have seen the what's happened with it in the aftermath and seen the result and how those things can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen. Let's say he hit something. Maybe he hit a tree. He didn't get thrown out of the boat. Therefore, the throttle didn't get killed, but he could have gotten thrown out of the seat. You're thrown out of the seat doesn't mean the throttle's gone, and guess what happens?
Yeah, it's on its own,
and the boat's driving itself, and maybe it broke the steering free. Not a good thing. So a lot of different scenarios that come to play, and it's obviously we need to look
you
at that.
You just need to be really careful.
It's unfortunately it's not the boat that does it. It's not. I don't remember the last time we've had a scenario in a professional tournament. And this is the thing people also have to realize. They're saying, oh, shotgun starts need to have space. And a shotgun start tournament used to be the method when you take off in the morning. You didn't get a number. You just, everybody lines up and takes off. And away you go. And that, I was involved in two of those tournaments. And all I did was I made sure I was on the outside of everybody. I let everybody else go.
Yeah.
I wanted no part of it. Unless I know I had the fastest boat, which I knew I did. Then it wasn't a big deal. I just canned it, and I was...
But you'd want to be at the front of the pack.
You want to be front of the pack at that point.
Yeah.
And it's...
If your boat goes up in the air, this happens to me all the time in a tiller. I always make sure there's nothing in front of me.
Yeah. And then the other thing that comes in... So in the tournaments now, there's no longer shotgun starts.
Right.
There may be some local ones that are. I don't know why they do it. Nonetheless, they are all now... You have a start number. You are in line. So that's not the situation, because you could say, well, there's a collision with another angler. That's not it. This is an angler with a different guide boat that was on the water and that was not long into the morning. Both of them were at early points of the day.
Sure.
Both of them. The one was literally right at the launch ramp that was on Lake Norman, or right near the launch ramp.
Right.
And the other one, again, it's just, you know, obviously a sad deal, but it didn't happen, as far as I know, the conversation was, is it happened very early in the day, but don't know exactly when. And if it was, that's where the fog scenario has been discussed. But people are talking about boats, you know, fast boats, etc. The people that are driving those boats in those environments, they need to be aware of what's going on. This gentleman has been in 63 events. He's not a newbie. He's been through a lot. He's had 10 top 10 finishes and one career win. That's a big deal. So we'll be talking about this next week, but clue you guys in, watch the news for that and see what happens there. Another fishing story that weird. I don't know if you saw the video, Don. The charter captain that got into an argument with a younger 22-year-old kid.
Where was this at?
Down in Florida.
No.
Yeah. Apparently, this gentleman was previous day driving through a bridge, wide open throttle, and this kid's like in fishing in a spot, and then this other guy decides he's a charter cap, decides he's going to start chewing the kid out for being on the spot and everything else. And, well, needless to say, he started yelling at him, jumped on his boat, was physically going to go after him. He has been charged with a number of different counts. Basically, his guide service is gone. Everything is shot. And, yeah, check it out. It's pretty crazy.
Not worth it.
No.
Take a deep breath.
No.
Goodness.
The guy's name.
It's a fish.
Yeah, not a good thing, but you look it up, you hear all the stuff about it. But speaking of looking it up and hearing all the stuff about it, looking up us, that's the show for today. Don, thanks for being here.
Yeah, no problem.
Ava, you as well.
Thanks.
And we are the Valley Outdoors. I hope you all have a great weekend. Looks like it's going to be fantastic. And enjoy the outdoors. It's going to be great. See ya. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.